As many of you know, we're doing a series entitled You Asked For It. I do it every summer. Summer is a time when it's kind of a relaxed time in the church. So what I do is I go to you, the congregation, and I ask you, the congregation, what do you want? What do you want to hear? And so for the last month and a half, we've been collecting sermon topics. We're going to be discussing end times issues. We're going to be discussing relational issues. I think one of the more interesting ones is when is it time to call quits to a relationship? And it's not so much the husband-wife. I called to make sure about that one. But it was like a co-worker or something like that. So when I'm preaching these sermons, I want to make sure that I get them as accurate as possible. And today's sermon, you're going to notice that I'm going to be very stuck on my notes. Because I want to make sure that I don't say anything wrong. I want to be as biblical as possible as we talk about today's sermon. When I get away from my notes, my mind kind of wanders, and I very easily can become a Donald Trump and say things and go, oh, I can't believe I said that. I did that last week, and where I made a comment about a name of an institution in Salina. It was no malice. I just thought it was a neat, interesting name. I was talking about that. Didn't think much of it until I actually went back and listened to the sermon. I went, I can't believe I said that. I cannot believe it. So if you're part of that institution, my apologies. It was meant out of fun because I thought it was a unique name, really, is what all it was. So no malice. My familyites know that, right? I do the best that I can not to be maliceful. Did that make sense? Not to be maliceful. Anyway, and sometimes I will say stuff and I went, oh, man. Like I said, there's nothing funnier than to watch my kids when they were in church and I would say something and I'd watch them start to sink in the pews. And then I go, I'm going to hear about it when I get home. And sure enough, I do. Today we're going to talk about a serious subject. It's a subject that has really hit us in the last probably 5 years in the United States. It's a subject that we has been around since the creation of man. Because we see that throughout scriptures. And the subject is going to be on homosexuality. The question was given me, can a person be gay and a Christian and go to heaven? And so we're going to try to answer that question today based upon what scriptures say. Hear me in this, because I know many of you are dealing with this subject. I know some of you have gay relatives, and I know some of you even have children that are probably gay. I also know that some of you have friends that are gay. I understand that. And so I want to be as compassionate as I can, but yet I cannot be wavering from God's word. Because God's word is very specific in a lot of issues. And when sometimes we have to be careful that we're not trying to please one group or another group, that we waver away from God's word. And so that is so important. So with this in mind, I want to talk about this, and I'm going to stick really close to my notes. In case you don't know, this is Gay Pride Month. And I know that because Delta Airlines put on Facebook, we are a proud supporter of the LGBT community. In case you're not aware, there are 35 different sexual orientation classifications that they have come up with in the last number of years. All the way from gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, accepting of all, not accepting of all, to even into some of them that even we consider to be very deviant, such as bestiality and also pedophilia. So they've come up with all these different names. My children, going to Findlay High School, were exposed to that, where when I grew up in high school, you weren't exposed to it. But they are exposed to it. I mean, Craig Kupferberg was the principal of Findlay High School, and he was dealing with this whole transgender issue before it hit the news, where he actually made different bathrooms for people to go into. And he kept shaking his head going, why doesn't the news media just be quiet? Because we're dealing with it, and all they're doing is stirring the pot. My kids also worked at Cedar Point one summer, and they would talk about Gay Week, which is going to be next week. Cedar Point on, and I believe Kings Island on Father's Day, that's called Gay Day, and people go in there. And this is what they said. They said, "Dad," I said, those gay guys, they were the funnest people. They were, and how many of you have been to Cedar Point? You know the little yellow outfits that the sweepers were supposed to wear? Little jump outfits? And so she wears that, and one guy comes up and says, "Oh, how can I get one of those?" And she goes, "But Dad, he was the nicest guy." She says, "But those lesbians were something else." But that was their observations. Also growing up in Findlay, there's a large gay community in Findlay, Ohio, to the point that I learned how to recognize it. Very simple. So in Salina, you say, "We don't have a gay community in Salina." You do. And I know that because I go to Walmart. I said, "There's one, there's one, there's one, there's one." You can just, you get so used to it, you can literally just pick them out. So they're there, and I know they're there. And I know that, as I said, as I'm dealing with this subject, I'm going to be hurting some feelings. I know I am, and that's not my intention. My intention is to stay with God's Word. Because sometimes we're so worried about hurting people's feelings that we forget about hurting God's feelings. Because God's very specific about certain things, but we tend to ignore it because we're more concerned about what man thinks than what God thinks. You know the scriptures talk about a teacher? That a teacher would be judged more harshly than the regular congregation? Do you know I'm going to be judged by every word that comes out of my mouth and what I teach you? So that's why I have to be so careful. John MacArthur, and I disagree with him on this statement because I don't see any scriptural reference, but he was trying to illustrate this when he said there's a terrible degree in hell for those pastors who lead people astray. Now, I don't see degrees in hell, but I know what he was trying to say. So with this in mind, I'm going to systematically go through scriptures and talk about this. And as I said, I know that I'm already hurting some feelings. I know that, but that's not my intent. I just want to be biblical. Okay, with that in mind, the important questions that we have to ask ourselves is this. Is the Bible the ultimate authority, and is Jesus the only Savior? Bingo. That's the key. I actually got that from John MacArthur as well. But we have to ask ourselves this question. Is the Bible the ultimate and final authority? And is Jesus the only Savior? Now, I contend that the Bible is the ultimate authority and that Jesus is the only Savior. I also contend the fact that we need to just read the Bible. Just read it. Stop trying to change it. Stop trying to find that little thing in there that might justify what we're doing. Just read it. So we're going to go through the scriptures. We're going to start at Genesis chapter 19 first, and we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about this. So in Genesis, what does the Bible say about homosexuality? There's absolutely nowhere in scriptures where homosexuality is discussed or mentioned in a positive light. It's not there. Anytime that you see it in scripture, it's looked at negatively. Okay? So in the first mention in homosexuality has to do with Genesis chapter 19, where it's the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Many of you know that Sodom and Gomorrah was a city in which a Lot had lived, and angels of God came there, and the men of Sodom came, and they were going to have sex with them. It actually says that. It's chapter 19, verse 4. It says, "Before they had gone to bed, all the men of the city, every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. And they said, 'Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we might have sex with them.'" Now, this is a sad, sad scripture passage. Because I want to tell you just how depraved humanity had gotten. Because you know what Lot did? Lot said this. He says, "Don't do this to these men because that's so horrible. But you can have my two daughters instead." How sad is that? And the angels eventually made him become blind, and the men were still burning with passion. Now, some of our liberal churches, what they do is they say, well, the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was not sexual. The sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was the fact that they were not hospitable. Because hospitality was very strong in that culture. And so they were not hospitable, the town was not hospitable to those people because they wanted to have sex with them. Now, I don't see that in Scripture, because even Jesus refers to the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then many of you know that Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. And that's where you get the word Sodom or Sodomites or the sodomy laws that are actually were on the books until just very recently. They called them sodomy laws. And they were much wider than just the homosexual issues. But that's what they would call the law of sodomy. So then we get into the Old Testament. And if you know in Leviticus chapter 18, or in Leviticus, that's the book of the law. And homosexuality is condemned in the Old Testament law. And in fact, it's one of the 35 capital crimes that you could actually lose your life if you do that. Now, if any of you have been watching what's happening on the news with ISIS, ISIS is following the Quran to the point where they are actually throwing people off roofs who are convicted of homosexual crimes. They don't even give a chance to go to court. They're actually taking them to the top of a roof, saying you're guilty, and they're throwing them off. Do I agree with that? Absolutely not. Am I glad that we're no longer under the Old Testament law? Absolutely I'm glad. Because some of you would be dead. Any of you ever look at your parents in a disrespectful way? According to the Old Testament in Leviticus, you could actually lose your life because that was one of the capital crimes. And so it is, and it's true that we are no longer under the Old Testament law. So Leviticus chapter 22, and I want you to see where they had put this on the level of. Do not give any of your children to sacrifice to Moloch. Leviticus 22, verse 21. For you must not profane the name of the Lord your God. I am the Lord. Do not have sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman. That is detestable. Do not have sexual relations with an animal and defile yourself with it. A woman must not present herself to an animal to have sexual relations with it, for that is perverse. And then it goes on and talks about that's a death penalty. So what Moses is doing is he's actually putting homosexuality on the same level as bestiality. And is saying that it is perverse. And as I said, it's one of the Old Testament laws. Now once again, I'm glad that we're no longer under the Old Testament law. True, we are no longer under the Old Testament and the laws, which I'm glad, because every one of you here will be breaking the law. Because you're not to put two different types of cloths together. Right? That's under the Old Testament. So if one of you have wool and cotton in your clothing, guess what? You are officially breaking the law. Okay. So we're no longer under that, and that is true. Also, be very careful when you quote the Old Testament for your own purposes. When you say, well, according to the Old Testament, I'll give you an example. How many of you have tattoos? Okay? You have just broken the Old Testament law, right? Because that's in the Old Testament. But there's reasons why they put it in the Old Testament law. But we're no longer under that law. Right? I see nowhere in the New Testament that talks about tattoos. Does anybody know anyone? It's not there. The reason why they did not want you to have tattoos in the Old Testament is because that's what identified you with another god. So when you got a tattoo, you were saying, I am following Moloch. Like some of you got crosses, you know, some of you got crosses and scripture verses and stuff like that. They were identifying themselves with another god. So that's the reason behind it. Now we have a real strong proliferation of tattoos now because of Dennis Rodman. Seriously, I want you to go back. When there's always been tattoos. I mean, they're finding mummies with tattoos. It's always been around. But why is it so strong now? It really started as strong as it did when Dennis Rodman was playing basketball. Really? Okay. I told you I wouldn't get off, and I did. Okay. Okay. So now the next argument is, and like I said, be very, very careful when you quote the Old Testament because they will use it against you. And you are not, we are not under the Old Testament law. So, the next one is, Jesus never condemned homosexuality. I've heard that as well. Alright, let's turn it around. Jesus never condoned homosexuality. In fact, if you look at scriptures, he never mentions it. The only time he comes close is when he talks about the sin of Sodom. And so, he never condemned it, and nor had he ever condoned it. He propagated and he embraced heterosexual marriage, and he kept quoting the fact that the man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one. And that's what he kept referring to. So you do hear this where people say that, well, Jesus never condemned it. Right, that is true. And he never condemned pedophilia. He never condemned bestiality. He never condemned any of the drug use. He never condemned a lot of stuff. He never condemned the serial murderer. He didn't condemn those either. But for some reason, our society, which the government did it, don't get me wrong, I mean, society overwhelmingly until about 3 to 4 years ago was against it. Law after law was put on the books by referendums throughout our states. And law after law, and it took one judge to stop it. And then our president embraced it. Hollywood's been embracing it all along. And now all of a sudden, if you stand up and you put on Facebook on Delta's, we're supporting the LGBT community, and you say, I'm never going to fly Delta again, you're intolerant, narrow-minded, homophobic, whatever, it keeps attacking you. And that's what's happening. I know that because I read it. You go to high school, some high schools, and you say, you know what, I'm for straight couples, they'll expel you. There are people who've lost their jobs over this whole issue. My son went to Bowling Green State University. His RA, our resident hall director, was gay, and David, being my son, said, I don't believe it's right, the Bible says it's wrong, and the RA turned around and says, I can have you expelled for saying that. That's what's happening. If I were to preach this sermon and be on the air in some cities, I would have a whole group of people come in and be protesting right now, saying you're discriminatory. No, I'm not discriminating. You can have any job you want. I'm just saying it's wrong. In the writings of Apostle Paul, it's condemned. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at this. The very fact you have lawsuits amongst you means you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wrong? Why not be cheated? Instead, you yourselves cheat and do wrong. You do this to your brothers and sisters. Do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do you not know that neither the sexually immoral, nor the idolaters, nor the adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor the slanderers, nor the swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Now what does that say? The word sexually immoral, if you translate that from the Greek, that is whoremongering. Whoremongering. That's essentially having sex outside of marriage. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. We know that the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for the lawbreakers and the rebels and the ungodly and the sinful, the unholy, the irreligious, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, for the murderers, for the sexually immoral, for those practicing homosexuality, for the slave traders and liars and murderers. So it's on the same level as murders. It's on the same level as murders. It's on the same level as those who kill their fathers and mothers. As I said, I was a chaplain of the Hancock County Jail justice system, and I dealt with those who killed their mothers. And for those, and for whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. Romans chapter 1, verse 26. Because of this, God gave them over to their shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations with unnatural ones. In the same way, men also abandoned natural relations with women and are inflamed with lust for one another. Men commit shameful acts with other men and receive in themselves what is due penalty of their error. Revelation chapter 22, and this comes from John the Apostle. Outside are those who will not enter the kingdom of God. Outside are the dogs who practice magical arts, sexual immorality, whoremongering, which some translate homosexuality, the murderers, idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehoods. So if you're in a court of law, here's the evidence. So I did a lot of study this week, and I wanted to find out, is it inherited? Is it environment? Why such a strong proliferation of it? And I have to come back and say, I can't tell you. I don't know. Do you know why? Because it's become so political now that you can't get to the truth. Google it. Is homosexuality inherited? And you're going to find, yes it is, no it's not, maybe, we're not sure, yes it is, no it's not. I mean, they've done twin studies, identical twins, well one is, the other one's not. I read an article that said that there's something that happens at a certain time in their life, a chemical reaction happens that attacks this gene. I don't know. I really don't know. If I knew, I would tell you. If it was genetic, I would tell you. But I cannot, I don't know. Because all it does is it boils down to which side of the spectrum are you going to hold to. It's one of those, I have my thesis, I have my theory, let me find the evidence to prove it. Instead of let's look at the evidence and then come to a conclusion. I can't find it, and I wish I could. I find it. Yeah, I'm sticking with my notes. So, throughout scriptures, homosexuality is condemned. Genesis before the law, Leviticus at the law, after the law, and in the New Testament times. I mean, there's the evidence. I wish I could say something different. I really do, because, you know, they're great people. They are. So, first question is the Bible the ultimate authority? The second question is Jesus the only Savior? As I look at scriptures, I only find three sins in scriptures that are non-forgivable. And even then, they're forgivable if you do something about it. And what I mean is, the first one is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to go into that. If you're worried about you've committed that, you didn't, because somebody who's committed it doesn't care anyway. Alright? The next one is non-forgiveness of others. If you refuse to forgive someone else, you will not be forgiven. Hear this, people, because the church is filled with people who are angry and bitter and will not forgive. The next one is not accepting Jesus Christ as Savior. If your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you are not going to go to heaven. It is that simple. Revelation 17:8. So what that means, that tells me that homosexuality is forgivable, and Jesus wants the homosexual to be saved, just as he wants the pedophile to be saved, just as he wants the liar to be saved, just as he wants the thief to be saved, just as he wants you who cheated on your income tax to be saved. Okay? He wants everyone to be saved, but every one of us has a sin issue in our lives that we have to put at the feet of Jesus. And we have to give to Jesus. That's the key. And so, what I'm saying is, if we ask for forgiveness, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of all of our sins. We need to repent and turn from that lifestyle. And I'm just not talking about homosexuality. I'm talking about any lifestyle here. Because Christians, this is where the American church has lost it. Because we say, all you have to do is believe in the existence of a God, and you're going to be saved. And we forget about the other. Now you're saying, what? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. If we deliberately keep on sinning, and notice that word, deliberate. I think that's the key to that whole verse, is the word deliberate. If we deliberately keep on sinning, because it's not an issue of, okay, you know, I'm on the computer and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, what did I just do here? Or, you know, I stub my toe and I say a word, or and I get caught up in it. It is, I know it is wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway because I don't care. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we receive the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left. Now that is a hard statement. All right, let's close out. And I want you to know that there's a difference between having a temptation and actually sinning. Even Jesus was tempted, but he did not sin. So the temptation is not the sin, it's the acts that you do. Because it is sin, I will refrain from that act. The key word is celibacy. So if I have a desire to sleep with five women, you're okay, brother. If I have a desire to sleep with five women, I am not going to do it because I know it is wrong, and I'm not going to do it because I'm laying it at the feet of Jesus. You see what I'm saying? So, per scripture, can a person who is active, an active homosexual, be a true Christian and go to heaven? As I look at scriptures, the answer is no. Just as an active liar, an active pedophile, an active gossip, an active murderer. I mean, I can go on and on and on talk about these. See, we like to point the fingers at something we disagree with, but always understand when you're pointing the fingers, there's three fingers coming. Do you know what that scripture says? Does anybody even know what it says? Yeah, it says, judge not lest you be judged. But what Jesus says is, by the same measure that you judge someone else, you'll be judged. It doesn't say you're not to judge. What it says is this. It says, clean up your act first so you can be clean so now you can help somebody else. It's like somebody who smokes crack or is taking heroin that's telling somebody, first of all, without taking your cell phone off, can you tell me where that's found? Well, I know that's what the Bible says. Oh, really? Where? By the way, it's in Matthew. Can a person who is tempted with homosexuality and does not yield to the temptation, I shouldn't put this in here, but I want to say it on a consistent basis, on a rebellious basis, let me say this. Can a person who is tempted with homosexuality and does not yield to the temptation or is celibate be a true Christian and go to heaven? Yes. 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 Just as murderers will be in heaven. Pastor, you just went against scripture. No, I didn't. Saved murderers will be in heaven. You want to know one of the strangest dichotomies you'll ever have is? A murderer goes to heaven, but the person that he murdered does not. What's the difference? The murderer gave his life to the Lord after the murder. The one who was murdered never gave her life to the Lord. Now, does that really blow your mind? And that's hard. That's a very hard concept. But it all boils down to Jesus Christ. Okay, so, can a person who is tempted with homosexuality, can a person who is tempted with sin and continues to live in that life of sin without yielding it to Jesus and is not willing to be celibate in that area of sin, go to heaven?